hasn't it been an amazing week? And now the culmination to have the Lord's Supper together and with all the international congregations, what a great and special way to do that. So we're thankful that you could be with us. This evening, I'm going to open the word for us from 3 John. This has been the same passage we've been in. Dr. Pratt faithfully preached for us, and the week prior, Dr. Reeder, the same, to prepare us for missions. And now, to close out the missions conference with the passage in 3 John, and I'm going to read it to you here, starting at verse 3 John. I'll start at verse 1 tonight. To the elder, the beloved Gaius, whom I love in the truth. Beloved, I pray that all may go well with you and that you may be in good health, as it always goes well for your soul. For I rejoiced greatly when the brothers came and testified to your truth, as indeed you are walking in the truth. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children are walking in the truth. Beloved, it is a faithful thing that you do in all your efforts for these brothers, strangers as though they are, who testified to your love before the church. And you will do well to send them on their journey in a manner worthy of God. For they have gone out for the sake of the name, accepting nothing from the Gentiles. Therefore, we ought to support people like these, that we might be fellow workers for the truth. And I have written to you something to the church, but Diotrephes, who likes to put himself first, does not acknowledge our authority. So if I come, I will bring up what he is doing, talking wicked nonsense against us. And not content with that, he refuses even to welcome the brothers and also stops those who wants to put them out of the church. This is the word of God. So we've had the opportunity to hear this passage preach, and I want to focus in on a particular phrase this evening. We're going to talk about in a manner worthy of God. You're going to hear that a few times tonight. What does that phrase actually mean? In a manner worthy of God. We're going to have a chance to look at Scripture and think through exactly what the implications are of sending someone in a manner worthy of God. But first, a little background on John's epistles. This is John's third epistle. It was likely written at the end of the first century. And together with his previous epistles, he instructs the believers, among a number of strong themes that you even hear in 3 John there, to walk in the truth, to keep themselves free from sin, to abide in Christ. That's literally to dwell in Christ, to live and move in Christ, to love one another. This is a great theme that is regularly repeated throughout the epistles of John, to love one another and to live in light of eternity. In other words, Christ is coming back. So let's live in light of Christ's imminent return. He will come back for all those who are named the name of Christ. He will come back to take us home to be with him and to eagerly anticipate that return. So these are just a little bit about some of the major themes that we see regularly repeated in the epistles of John. And you've heard this concept, a couple of key phrases you've heard over and over again this week, that we would be fellow workers for the truth. We talked about even our missionary partners, that they are workers for the truth. And for us, if we have the opportunity to participate with them and lovingly pray for them and support them, and if we send them on their way, we have the opportunity to be partners with them and be fellow workers for the truth. So you've heard that a lot this week. And also this in a manner worthy of God, that we would send them out in a manner worthy of God. Most of them are gone. They've already been sent out. There's a few left. If you're a missionary with us, could you raise your hand still? A few. Yeah. Okay. Praise the Lord. We still have a few left. But others had their flights and they're already gone. So in that sense, we've already sent them out. And it was a fantastic celebration this morning in church with the flags coming and going out after we've laid the faith promise pledges at the feet. You know, those the beautiful feet, like Dr. Pratt talked about, the beautiful feet of them that bring good news. Wasn't that wonderful to be able to lay our offerings and pledges before their feet and then to see them go out following the flags of their nations? And the symbolism is so rich. And I saw many of you as you brought your pledge cards down, you were tearing up and weeping. And even some of the missionaries, if you'd look close, even they had the tears, because it's such a beautiful gift, this partnership. And sending them out in a manner worthy of God. I believe that we did a little bit of that this morning already. Because they've been sent out for the sake of the name. That's another phrase we've heard repeated this week. They've been sent out for the sake of the name. For the name that is above every name. The name of our Lord Jesus Christ. What a wonderful privilege we have that we are called by His name. That as children of His, we are Christians called by the name of Jesus. And we got a chance to send them out today as fellow workers for the truth. So what does it mean to send someone out in a manner worthy of God? I was thinking about this a lot as I was praying through this sermon that I would bring to you tonight, and just thinking about, you know, what could that look like? And, you know, anybody who knows me, I have a pretty big imagination. So I've been dreaming about all these different things this week and in preparation and praying through this sermon. What could it look like to send out in a manner worthy of God? And for some of you, you're reading through the Bible in a year, and we're just at that point where we've just passed the last few weeks where we heard all about the tabernacle that was, you know, the children of Israel have been wandering in the desert in our Bible readings. And there they are out there, and God gives the command to Moses up on Sinai, and He gives all the specifics of the tabernacle. What does that look like? And how each of the particular types of wood and the measurements and the gold overlay and the hooks and the everything down to the clothes of the priests, and how the priests had to consecrate themselves and wash. And then they had special garments made by skilled craftsmen. And my imagination was just so rich as I was thinking, maybe that's what it means to be sent out in a manner worthy of God, with really fine clothes, you know, really nice duds with gold everywhere, laced through them, and these fine purple and blue linens. Maybe that's what God's talking about, to send them out in a manner worthy of God. But, you know, we didn't do that to our missionaries, did we? We didn't dress them up in gold and put gold bars in their pockets or make them carry interesting candelabrums or anything like that. But what does it mean? So my imagination started to run a little bit, and I started thinking about what else could it mean to send somebody in a manner worthy of God? And I was thinking about my own practical experience in our family, times when we even sent our kids somewhere. You know, you think about your time with your children, and you sent them out. Some of you maybe have sent them off to camp. I've seen it at Camp Briarwood when they show up. And they look like Eagle Scouts. They've got so much gear and equipment, and, you know, they've got rolled up sleeping bags, and they're all weighted down. They've got compasses, and they've got water bottles, and they've got snack candies that would actually feed them for about 2 months, even though they're only going for a week. You know, they're just loaded down with all this good stuff, because Mama, it's her first time she's letting them go out to camp. And, you know, they're covered. They've got everything, mosquito repellent, anything you could think of. Those kids going off to Camp Briarwood, they are loaded down. I was thinking, maybe that's what it looks like to be sent in a manner worthy of God, just with all these provisions and, you know, a Boy Scout knife with every sort of contraption. Maybe that's what it looks like to be sent in a manner worthy of God. And then I was thinking, you know, one of the most profound times in our family that I've had was sending our children off to college. You know, maybe some of you can relate to that. That you pray for your children. Certainly we educate them and we pray for them regularly for those Christian raised in a Christian family. You prayed that your children would come to know the Lord at a young age, and that they would walk in Him. And now it comes time for the big test, doesn't it? You're about to send them off to college. And there it comes to the day, and you help them. You've been packing bags and going on all your Walmart trips to get all the provisions that they're going to need for college. But, you know, behind the scenes, there's a lot of praying. There's a lot of praying for them, praying that God will watch over them. And, you know, all your helpful advice that, you know, first day, you got to get into a church right away and get into a good fellowship and a good Christian community. And, you know, make sure you declare the moment you get on that campus that you're a Christian and you're not going to do any of that nonsense that everyone else in all the dorms are doing. And you send them off prepared, equipped, ready to go, ready to defend your faith and kind of set them in the best possible light. And when you send them, I know at least was the case for our family, there was a few tears. Not just Mama this time. Even dear old dad got a little misty-eyed when especially when I hugged my baby girl and sent her off in her dorm, and we walked away and said, okay, Lord, she's in your hands now. What a special moment, you know. But we had been over to Walmart. We had been there to see all the other mamas scurrying around and buying things and making sure and not wanting to leave that first time. Maybe that's what it looks like to send your missionaries off in a manner worthy of God. So these are some of the things I was thinking about. And then I thought, no, we're not going to go with our imagination. We're not going to think about what is a manner worthy of God. Let's look at the scripture. What does the scripture say? And we actually have great examples because Jesus himself spent 3 years with his disciples, training them, discipling them, spending time with them. And then he sent them out. So let's flip over and look at a few passages here. In fact, Luke chapter 9 talks about Jesus sending out the 12. And what did he send them out to do? Well, he sent them out proclaiming the kingdom of God. And he sent them with his authority and his power to heal. And he told them this. This is really interesting. Take nothing on your journey. That seems exactly opposite of what my imagination was going to. That we would send them out well supplied like a Boy Scout, or send them off to their college dorm with every possible thing they could need and medicine to fit, you know, enough to, in case they got a little sniffle or a cold that first semester, or enough food money to cover, for 2 years of college. That's what kind of my mind was going to. But it's interesting, when Jesus sent his disciples out, the 12, he told them, take nothing on the journey. That's pretty, that'll make you think a little bit. Because I believe he wanted to send them out to see the provision of God and to need and require the faith of God to go out to experience what they were about to experience in their ministry. In fact, if you flip over to Luke 10, it also says the same thing. When Jesus sent out the 72, in fact, he says, I'm sending you out as lambs among the wolves. Lambs among the wolves. Now, I don't know, when the two teams here play it out in Alabama, we hear regularly about two pretty phenomenal university teams that usually go head to head in every single sport. There is known demand. And this congregation seems to get really excited about that, no matter what the game is. But when these two universities go head to head, there's, you know, a lot of interest usually here. But it's interesting when you think about a lamb versus a wolf. It doesn't seem like a fair competition, does it? Lambs don't have any way to defend themselves. And Jesus sent his out as lambs among the wolves. He sent his spirit with them for sure. And he sent them on a mission, to be clear. But that didn't seem like a fair fight. That certainly doesn't seem like where my imagination went to, that they would be fully supplied with everything they might need. But yet Jesus did that because he was going to be with them. Also in Mark 6, you see how Jesus sent them. He sent them in pairs. So they weren't alone. They had another believer, another fellow disciple that Jesus had been pouring into for those many years as he taught them and walked the fields with them and taught all the parables to them and was in the synagogue and all over as he walked with them. And he sent them out in pairs. In fact, in Mark 6, it says, and he called the 12 and began to send them out two by two. And he gave them authority over the unclean spirits. And he charged them to take nothing for their journey except a staff. No bread, no bag, no money in their belts, but to wear sandals and not to put on two tunics. And he said to them, wherever you enter a house, stay there until you depart from there. And then they cast out many demons and anointed with oil many who were sick and healed them. It seems a little counterintuitive, doesn't it? But how amazed were the disciples and the 12 and the 72 when they went out like that as Jesus had sent them. And what did they do? They came back and reported all kinds of things. They were amazed at what God could do because they weren't trusting in their provisions. They weren't trusting in all their fancy things that they had to manage. But they trusted in the living God who sent them out. I believe that's getting a little closer to what we mean when we say send them out in a manner worthy of God, filled with faith, filled with obedience to Jesus Christ, trusting in the Holy Spirit and the power of the Holy Spirit that sends us out into mission. Even the Word of God says that even if you don't know the words that you're going to say, relax. I will give you the words. I will supply the words for you. This is amazing to think about that level of provision and the confidence we can have. Also, John 17, Jesus sends his disciples out. Really, in his high priestly prayer, he sends them out with prayer. And this is quite an intense prayer. As you know, he's just about to be arrested in the garden. And the disciples couldn't even keep their eyes open. They kept falling asleep and showing that their heart is willing, their mind is willing, but their body and their flesh is weak. And yet Jesus is there praying this high priestly prayer in John 17. Just a few snippets from that prayer. I have manifested your name, Father, that to the people that you gave me out of the world. Holy Father, keep them in your name, which you have given to me, that they may be one, even as you and I are one. While I was with them, I kept them in your name, Father, which you have given to me, and I've guarded them. And not one of them has been lost, except for that son of destruction, that the scripture might be fulfilled. But now I'm coming to you, and these things I speak in the world, that they may have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. You see, this prayer of Jesus is a equipping prayer, a prayer entrusting them to his holy, loving Father, that they might be in the Father just as Jesus is in them and Jesus is in the Father, and that they might be where he is. This is quite a prayer. I think we get a real sense of what does it mean to send someone out in a manner worthy of God when you look at Jesus's shepherding prayer for his disciples, that we're going to come under severe attack, that we're these lambs among the wolves, and they were sent out, many of them mistreated and harmed for the sake of the name. And Jesus says it so well here that they forsake me. The people in the world have mistreated me, so therefore they will mistreat the followers. This is exactly what took place as you read into Acts and beyond, how the disciples scattered and some in fear and worry, even with doubts. And yet Christ was with them and he sent them out in a manner worthy of God. In John chapter 20, this is a resurrection. This is Jesus had come back right after the resurrection, John chapter 20, and he sent them once again. And here's what he said. Peace be with you. He repeated it again a little bit later. Peace be with you, Jesus said to them again. As the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you. Receive the Holy Spirit. And he breathed on them and gave them the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven. And if you withhold forgiveness from any, it is withheld. You see that kind of empowerment that Jesus sent them out with? I think that is really getting to the heart of the matter about sending out someone in a manner worthy of God, that he would send them with all the provisions they do need. But it's not what our minds might think. The Spirit of God, the Word of God, we've got the gifts of God, we've got the shield and the faith, we've got all the armor of God. This is how he sends us out. But it's among an enemy in the world that hates us because it hated our Savior and mistreated them. That's how we're sending out our missionaries. So they need our prayer. They need our attention to be focused with them. In fact, if you think about how we sent them out, there's a great prayer in Colossians 1. I want to challenge you to be praying for our missionaries. I'm going to read just a section of this, starting at verse 3. Listen to this prayer that Paul prays to the church in Colossae. And particularly, he talks about Epaphras, one of our fellow workers, one of our beloved servants. Listen to this, starting at verse 3 of chapter 1. We always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you, since we heard of your faith in Jesus Christ and the love that you have for all the saints, because of the hope that is laid up for you in heaven. Of this you have heard before in the word of truth, the gospel, which has come to you, as indeed in the whole world it is bearing fruit and increasing, as it also does among you, since that day you heard it and understood the grace of God in truth. Just as you learned it from Epaphras, our beloved fellow servant, fellow worker for the truth. He is a faithful minister of Christ on your behalf, and he has made known to us your love in the Spirit. And so from that day we heard, we have not ceased to pray for you, asking you that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. He goes on and on in this prayer. I would encourage you and challenge you as an application even to this sermon, that you would take our missionary booklet that we published that has all the photos and the family's pictures and their bios, that you would pray this prayer for them. That would be a way you would send them in a manner worthy of God. So in closing, I'd like to just share with you a few practical applications of what it means to send someone in a manner worthy of God. And in fact, in just a few moments, we're going to have an opportunity to take the Lord's Supper. I'm sure you've heard that phrase that Pastor Reeder says to us as a church and instructs us regularly when we have the Lord's Supper, that we ought to come not worthily, not trusting in our own righteousness, not that we're worthy to come to the table, but we ought to come in a manner worthy. That means prepared. That means having been forgiven and having confessed our sin and repented and even prepared before this evening service, that you would have come and done that work to prepare yourself, that we would come in a manner worthy. So what does that look like for our missionaries and some practical applications? I have four I want to share with you. One is that you would send your love and care to them, that you would communicate that with them. In today's world, we have so much technology. You can chat with them on phone. You can Skype with them. You can pull out your iPhone and have a FaceTime message with them. Face-to-face communication. It's a miracle of modern technology that you can pull this out and actually talk to our missionaries in Zimbabwe or Zaire or New Zealand. I mean, it's incredible that you can do that. You can communicate with them and just say, hey, just today, make sure you, by the way, make sure you check the time zones. I've had that go bad. But it's amazing what we have now to express communication and connection with our missionaries. And yes, continue to fulfill the vows you've made for faith promise as you trust God to provide by faith all that you've entrusted to him. Give those gifts. Yes, give sacrificially, give systematically, give supernaturally as the Lord enables. But send them out with your provision from the church. And then finally, prayer. That you would send our missionaries out with prayer. We just heard of a great prayer you could pray in Colossians 1. But I would challenge you to pray five simple things. If you're somebody like me, you have a hard time keeping track of a lot of things. But I want everybody to hold up your hand and look at it for a second. Everybody just look at it. Just one hand. There's five fingers on your hand. Okay? Well, one's a thumb. There are five, right? And this can be a great reminder for you on what to pray for our missionaries. When you're praying through them, think about your five fingers. And I got one thing for each thing that you could pray for. Number one, pray for their families. Pray that God would bless their families. God would grow their families. That their families would know him. That they would walk in his ways. That their children would be obedient. Pray for their families. Pray for their loving relationships that they've left back home that they're now so far away from. Pray for their families. Number two, pray for the missionaries' faith. That they would have faith to trust in God for all the experiences they're going through right now at this present moment, whatever it might be, that God would give them faith to trust him and walk in his ways and to be obedient and to follow after God, that they would have faith. Number three, pray for their finances. We've just had our missionaries back and each of the global ministry team had a chance to meet with the different subgroups, had a chance to meet with each of the missionaries. And we heard many of them are behind in their support or others in this economy have dropped off or maybe they've gotten to a place where they no longer have income. So their donors and their missionary partners are on now a fixed income and they can no longer support them. Pray for our missionaries' finances, that they would be well supplied, that they wouldn't lack, that God would meet them where they are. And number four, pray for the field, the mission field, where they are, whatever country they're serving in. Pray for that field. Think about all the different news items you hear and you track. In today's news cycle, we hear it so quickly. We even get it pushed to our phones and things like that. But pray for their mission field, for their government, for the peace of their nation, for their ministry in the field, that God would bless them and that God would make a way, an open door in their field. And finally, number five, pray for their fruitfulness, that God would increase the fruit of their ministry, that it would be a joy for them to serve, and that they would see the fruit of their labors, and that God would be blessed and increase all that they're doing in keeping with their ministry and as keeping with their stewardship, that God would bless them some 10, 40, 60, 100 fold, that God would bless their ministry and their fruitfulness and effectiveness in Christ. Would you pray with me? Father, we pray that we would at Briarwood continue to send out our missionaries in a manner worthy of God. Father, would you put them regularly on our hearts and minds, that we would pray for them, that we would encourage them, that we would write to them and communicate them to them, that we would send care packages and encouraging words, that we might use our finances, Lord, and give to them. And most of all, Lord, that we would pray regularly and faithfully for each of these sent ones to the glory of God, our Father. Amen.